Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Christian Church on this beautiful autumn morning. If you would all just please silence your cell phones so we don't have any unexpected interruptions during the service, that would be great. Look over the list of announcements in your bulletin. We would like to welcome Mike Warch as our pulpit guest today. And we also have, this is Sunday school kickoff today, so we have all of our youth programmings that will be kicking off today in multiple different areas. Depending on how old you are, you can just check the news bulletin in your flyer today. Just one more thing that's just near and dear to my heart because I'm hosting it is the high school youth group, which is actually middle school, high school, 6th to 12th graders. We're meeting today after worship in the fellowship hall. We're going to have some pizza. We're doing a Tim Tebow devotional and brainstorming for some activities for upcoming youth events. So I would welcome anyone from 6th to 12th grade to join us after service today for that. And then we also have the Circle of Caring group is meeting on the first Monday of every month. And Elders on Call for Spiritual Care for the next 2 weeks is myself and Terry Morrison. So please feel free to reach out to us. Our numbers are also in the bulletin if you have any care concerns for the next couple of weeks. If we'd all like to rise and greet one another, and then we will be singing our opening hymn, number 86, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Yeah.
please join me for the call to worship. It's printed in your bulletin. Reassuring God, we come to be still and to find rest in your presence.
We come to worship you, Lord, as we can hear our true selves with you.
Caring God, we come because you offer refuge and solace in paths that are unknown.
We worship you because we trust in your guidance during these uncertain times.
Saving God, we come to remember and give thanks for your care for us throughout all our lives, comforting and guiding us.
We come to worship you and praise your holy name because we know you are always listening and will answer our calls.
Dear Father, we have come together to worship and give honor to you because you are indeed a holy God. You made the heavens and the earth and everything within it. As we stand on the surface of your creation, we pray that our voices will be lifted up to you as a representation of the light shining out of the darkness. As we worship you, let your glory fill this place and that you will shine in each and every one of our hearts. And you pray with the prayer that you taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to God. You may be seated. We'll be singing hymn number 559, verses 1 and 3.
And then we have the toast. hook on the back. Hook onto the cars. Oh, and then a monster truck for racing. It says fired up on the side. Fired up on the side. These are great. Do you like to play with your cars? I bet. These are nice. Well, I'm looking here, and you know the first thing I saw, I love all of them because there's different things that make me think of different things here, but you know, this fire truck, big fire truck, because we need big ones like this in Wyoming because we have mountains and hard places to go to, but firemen are so important to us because they help us out when there's dangers, and they help us out when the firemen came and helped my dad whenever he fell and broke his hip. The firemen come and help people when their houses catch on fire. The firemen go up on the mountain and put the fires out. They're helpers. They're helpers. And when I was, my children were little, younger, like you. You guys aren't so little anymore. But when they were little, we used to watch a show called Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers said, you don't need to worry about the bad people in the world, because whenever you see so many bad people, you're going to see more good people going in to help. And the firemen are those good people. They're always there to help us, like the tow truck driver is there to help us. Man, I've always been happy to see a tow truck driver when I need them. And then don't we all have fun going to watch those big cars race? That's fun. That's a lot of fun. I would like to ride in one of them one day. Okay, let's say a quick prayer. Okay? Dear God, thank you for the vehicles that we've been able to create to move us around on this earth, and especially the fire trucks, which help us out when we need help, when someone is hurt, or there's a fire at our house, or a fire on the mountain. Thank you for all those helping people. Amen. Okay, does anybody really want to take the basket this week that will be here next week? Or you can see me later if you want to. You want to? Okay, Maddie's going to take it this week. Great. Well, we're going to head on down to Sunday school at Worship and Wonder. And we're going to get Blake back his trucks.
Reese,
thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Can you hold on, Reese?
Where's your tow truck?
He's got it.
He has it.
You got it. Good job. Love it.
Okay.
That's why you can bring 30 cars.
All right, our card shower this week is for Carmen and Connor Goodman. Connor was involved in an incident last weekend, and both Carmen and Connor could use our prayers and support. So if you would like to take one of the pew cards in front of you and write out a quick note of support for Carmen and Connor Goodman, we will make sure that they get those this week. We also have a prayer concern. June Brudemeyer is at Wyoming Medical Center recovering. We also have a praise. Congrats to our Dennis Baker for receiving, I believe, and correct me if it's wrong, but Realtor of the Year, I think it was. Okay, of the state. Okay, that's even better, I think. So congratulations to Dennis Baker. That's a really high award for. There are a lot of realtors in this state. So does anyone else have any prayer concerns or joys to share?
Carol said this morning that Friday, Monica Decker will have foot surgery in Laramie.
Okay. Monica Decker will be having foot surgery in Laramie on Friday. Any other prayer concerns or joys? Oh, okay. Okay, so June Brudemeyer has just been moved from Wyoming Medical Center to Life Care. Well, you guys are taking it easy on me this week. Yes. Oh, Perfect. Prayers for that. Okay, any others? All right, if you'll all bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord, your word speaks promises of healing and restoration, and we thank you for the miracles you still perform today. We believe in the healing power of faith and prayer, and we come to you with praises of blessings and bring to you the places we are hurting. You know the pain we carry and the burdens and the cares. Please be with Monica Decker with her foot surgery in Laramie on Friday. Prayers for homes that may happen here so that we won't have to move. Prayers for June Brennmeyer and the joys of Dennis Baker in celebrating his achievements. We know that you are there in every happenings in our lives, Lord, and in your name we pray, amen. One of the things that I love the most about First Christian Church, I have grown up in this church, but I have attended services at many churches, is that we welcome all to our communion table. All who seeks God's love in Christ are invited to share every Sunday together with us at the communion table. We set the table with our gifts. We break the bread and hold the cup together, eat and drink with one another and God, and we offer these actions to God and open the door for our own personal communion to God. Please join me with the hymn of communion number 403 in remembrance of me.
Thank you. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. Having given thanks, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. He took it after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink and you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray.
Beckoning God, following where you lead requires spiritual courage. Today, as we break the bread in remembrance of Christ's body given for all, we are mindful that this table and its feast has not always been open to everyone. We are grateful for our Stone and Campbell legacy of breaking down the dividing walls of denomination so that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ may partake here. As we drink from this cup of memory and blessing this morning, we are grateful for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose love makes us your people, whose example shows us the way, and whose abiding spirit keeps us going. Because there is just one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, help us maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Debbie Mestis will be coming forward for our moment for mission.
Embody in the call. Fill in the blank. You are the embodiment of. If that expression indicates that you are the embodiment of something delightful and pleasant, it is definitely a blessing. But what if someone told you that you are the embodiment of Christ? How does that make you feel? For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are the body of Christ, and all of us are members of this one body. As a church body, we have been on this journey to embrace and understand an identity as a church that is pro-reconciling and anti-racist for 20 years. We know the meaning of this mission imperative. We understand that the reconciled church is moving toward right aligning ourselves with each other and Christ. This journey is difficult. It is fraught with messiness and mystery. God is in all and through all in spite of our differences. We have different origin stories, different languages, different understandings of who and of how and who to love. God remains in the midst of all of us. When we stand with those who desire to provide for their families in an environment that is safe and full of opportunity, we embody Christ's love for our neighbor. When we sit together over a cup of tea and listen to each other's stories and dreams and commit to hold each other in the bonds of community and fellowship, we embody the love of Christ. We are the embodiment of Christ in all of our chaotic, messy reality, full of joy and mystery. Reconciliation Ministry is your mission of embodiment to love one another as Christ loves us. Your generosity fuels our granting programs, youth and young adult leadership development, and regional and general ministry outreach toward building beloved community through advocacy, intentional conversation, and action. Your giving enlivens our church-wide witness and presence as the one body of Christ in the communities where we live and serve. Thank you for your generosity.
Everything we are and could ever hope to be comes from God, who created the world and continues to create with every new moment of life. God loves the world, keeps it going, and renews it when everything seems to be running down. We can do the same with our tithes and offerings. The diaconate will now serve us. We already. How about the choir just sings today then?
Oh, Thank you. All right. Give myself another chance. As far as reading the scripture, this is found on page 50 in your pew Bible, Exodus 3, the first verse, and then 10 through 12. This is Moses having a conversation with God over the burning bush. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And if we skip down to 10 through 12, which I've got it marked wrong. All right, verse 10. Well, where am I? 7, 8, 9. 3, 10 through 12. I thought I had it marked, and I guess I don't. So, come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall worship God on this mountain. And then on page 51, we go to Exodus 4. 10 through 17. I don't know how I marked these, but I didn't mark them very well in this book. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? It is I, the Lord. Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, what of your brother Aaron and the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand this staff, and with which you shall perform the signs. The reading of the Lord.
The other, excuse me, the other scripture readings, the first one is Mark 1, 16 to 20. And it is on page 35 of the New Testament. And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The second reading is Luke 1, verses 5 through 13, and then 18 and 19. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in age. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in age." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. What a great day to be alive and be part of this congregation. First, I want to thank Cindy Huckfelt and the Board of Elders for allowing me to bring the message this morning. I hope I can meet their expectations. When I was first asked to speak on September 29th, I was hesitant, as that was only 10 days ago. And I was in Denver and would be there for 3 more days. But a small voice in my head said, "You can do it." Only it was a lot softer than that. It was, "You can do it." I think that that voice was my mother. You see, today is her birthday. If she was here, was still alive, she would be 102 years old today. And there was a lot of times that she said, "You can do it," or "You better not do it." Well, let's look at change that takes place in our lives. Takes place in our lives, takes place in the Bible, and takes place at First Christian Church, Casper, Wyoming. First, let's look at us. You, me, we are all creatures of habit. We have a routine at home that occurs almost every day. It may change slightly, but usually pretty constant. We sit in the same pew or on the side of the church each Sunday. I know for a fact I can count on Peg Jackson being up here. I can count on the Winders being back over there. I normally sit over here, you know. But as we do that, you know, we get up on each Sunday and we greet the same set of individuals when the church service begins. We do what is comfortable to us or is in our comfort zone. How would you feel if I said, y'all stand up and find a new seat on the other side of the church? Or those in the back, come up to the front, move over to this side, you in the front, go back and sit in the back. Find a new seat. You may meet someone new. When you greet people in the early part of the service, you might meet somebody that you haven't met before or just vaguely know who they are. But maybe it's somebody you haven't seen or have visited with in weeks or even months. Try it next Sunday. Just for a change or step out of your comfort zone, sit in a different seat. See what happens. It does two things. It makes change and it brings opportunity for you to meet and somebody else to meet you. Now let's look at some of the things that have taken place that are in the Bible that we read in Exodus. Now, we look at it and we say, okay, let's look at Moses' life. He went from being a consultant to the Pharaoh to being a sheep or goat herder, to being a spokesman for God and an adversary of the same Pharaoh. Then let's look at Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, an old man and woman. And they are told, you're going to have a son. Talk about change. You can read about it in Luke 1, 5 through 25. Or how about Mary and Joseph? If you keep reading, you'll read about them also. What a change. Went from being an old lady to having a baby or a young handmaiden that is told, you know, you're going to have a child. What a change that would be. But what an opportunity. We read about Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon and Andrew. Later he addressed James and John. Talk about a change. Going from a fisherman to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. What an opportunity. And we could look at that and say, it all had to do with God. God said, this is going to happen, and it did. But that's the same as for them as it is for us today. With God, anything can happen. And it will. You know, we look at Matthew. He went from being a tax collector to one of the disciples. How about Saul that became Paul? Or those people that were healed by Jesus? Or just he just talked to them. such as the woman at the well. And you can read about that in John 4, 7 through 30. Now, what about change in First Christian Church, Casper, Wyoming? First Christian Church has been here for about 98 and a half years. And those 98 plus years, we've had 12 senior ministers. You can go back on the hallway back towards the education wing and you will see a picture of each one of them. Shortest tenure was 1 year. The longest tenure was 25 years. The average was a little over 8 years, like 8 years, 2 months, give or take a day or two. This shows that change is inevitable. But before we go on to that, let's look at how many of you may have known Charles Stout, Reverend Charles Stout. He served in 1921. He started the church. If anybody would have put up their hand, I would have said, wow, you're old. Maybe I should start at the other end. But we're going to go down chronologically. Reverend Roy Hildebrand, he served 4 years, from 1922 to 1925. Reverend Carl Purley, 1926 to 1928. Did any of you remember him or were around when he was? How about Reverend Bert Stover, 1929 to 1933? 5 years. Or now we're getting up into where some of us may know some of these. Reverend Lee Neal, from 1934 to 1944. Served 11 years. Reverend Jack Reeve from 1945 to 1951. Ah, I see some hands. I don't remember Jack Reeve. I was just a little boy. I was born in 1946. But I know from talking to my father that he and my father were good friends. They were in the same Rotary Club together. Jack Reeves was president of that Rotary Club in 1951. My dad was president in 1952. How about Reverend Durward Allen? Any of you remember him? Paul? Yeah? I remember him. Durward Allen, from 52 to 56. He could preach and raise money like nobody's business. He was sent to preach to us and build a new church. And we're sitting in that new church today. The trouble is, Durwood couldn't fill the church. He could raise money, but his sermons were not quite what you would say coming from Billy Graham or somebody like that. He left in 56 and we got a man by the name Reverend Frank C. And I know some of you remember him. I don't see very many hands going up, but I remember I ran around with his oldest son. We behaved ourselves most of the time. You know, I won't mention the time we were running down the street. It was snowy, road was slick, and we had just stolen some 2x4s to build Denton a new pigeon house. And as we were running along, I'm on the front. Denton's in the back. We have 4 2x4s, 20 foot long. We're running down the street. and here's a police car. I put on the brakes. Boy, I was slowing down. But the road was slick. Denton hadn't seen it. He's still running. So I'm just skiing along. We went right on by him. They didn't stop us. I don't know why. God's intervention, maybe. I don't know. But Frank left and went on to Tulsa in 1964, 65. And we had Reverend Truce Llewellyn. More hands go up. Then there came Dr. Thomas Norman. Again, more hands go up. How many of you remember Dr. Bryant Badger? Doggone, almost every hand went up. And I bet you all of you knew Cynthia McBride too, Pastor Cynthia. So as you can see, they went from 1 year, 3, 4, 7, 8, 11, 25. But change is inevitable. But that change also means there's opportunity for us again. How we greet, who we greet, it could be the programs that go on inside our church. We have some great ones. But with the change, we may do even greater things, or things just as important as we're doing today. It depends on who we pick. We the congregation, we the search committee, and to do our part, we need to think about it. We need to pray about it. And we need to do all we can to grow from this ongoing challenge. I listened at the breakfast downstairs, and one of the search committee said, I was hoping we'd be done in a month. I also know when Ted was on the search committee, or the head of the search committee, when Pastor Cynthia came, it took more than a year. It isn't easy, and it isn't, the right person has to come along. And that's what the search committee is doing, to ferret out who that might be with God's guidance. And then they are presented to us, the congregation, to make the final decision. One time when I was standing up here about 10 years ago, Pastor Cynthia and Charles were sitting about where Spencer Stupak is sitting. And this was their Sunday to visit to see if they wanted to come be pastor here. And we were to meet them. So I greeted them as Pastor Cynthia McBride and her husband Chuck. Man, did the arrows fly. Charles looked up at me and said, my name is Charles, not Chuck. After the service, I apologized profusely to Charles. And I explained to him that we had just had an interim that was named Charles, and he preferred to be called Chuck. So, we need to get to know these people, the person that the search committee brings in, and be helpful to the search committee, be prayerful, and everything will work out. If we didn't see from the scriptures today, instead of being, what should I say, in change, there brings opportunity. It could be, don't say no to God. Because with God, we can do just about everything we want to do in this congregation. We can grow, we can get new people, we get new programs. It isn't all up to our new senior minister. It's up to us, me and you. I'm going to close with a couple of things that Pastor Cynthia wrote, and she put them in the call. And she said, thank you for allowing me, in so many words, to go send forth and go to Portland. Now it is time to start preparing your hearts to welcome your next pastor and family. It will take some time yet to discern who that person is meant to be, but God will provide. God will bring the next best minister to lead and serve alongside you. Partner with them, be honest, be open, share the best of your truest selves, take risks together to learn and grow, weep, work, and worship. Invite them to your homes, take them to your kids' sporting events. Treat them to lunch. Take them to your favorite restaurant. Help them to find the best fishing spots or snowshoe trail. Obviously, she was not a fisherman. No fisherman ever tells where their best spot is. Invite them into your hearts, into your home, as you have done me. She also said that we've been blessed. And the best way to show that we are to move ahead is to continue to come to church. I know I'm talking to the choir. I'm talking to you because you're here. You know? But what I'm driving at also is, as you're sitting there, you know who sits around you every day, every Sunday. Every Sunday. Some Sundays are not there. If it goes for a couple Sundays, pick up the phone and call them, see if they're doing okay. Maybe it's just they've been out of town. Maybe something came up in their family business or whatever that they didn't make it. But check on them. We're all in this together, you know? And it isn't just the minister's job or the elder's job or the board's job. It's all of our membership to help, you know? Call them. Just say, hi, how you doing? I know I haven't been sitting back there for 3 weeks. I've been in Denver, taking on a project that I thought would have been done last May. And I'm hoping it's done by the end of October before it snows. But, you know, we're all in it together. Make an effort, pick up the phone, and call them and say, hey, we missed you. That opens a lot of doors. It is a challenge. And it is an opportunity. With that, I thank you for being able to speak to you this morning. And the closing hymn has been changed. Instead of it being 77 on page 77, it will be How Firm a Foundation on page 618, and we will sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Thank you.
May God the Father prepare your journey, Jesus the Son guide your footsteps, the Spirit of life strengthen your body, the three in one watch over you on every road that you may follow until our paths cross again.
I heard an old story, how a city